Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to those of you listening here in the United States to this broadcast. Welcome. Welcome to those of you listening in Canada and Mexico. Welcome. Welcome also Iraq, Philippines, Algeria. Welcome. Welcome United Kingdom, Norway. Welcome. And every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, that's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. Amen. So as we wait for my brother to come on, wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Father, we thank you once again, Almighty God, for your power. It's matchless. No one is wiser than you. No one is greater. No one has more knowledge than you do. You are Almighty God. You are all-powerful, omnipotent, Lord God. And we're so grateful as believers who serve you, Lord God. Father, we ask once again, Lord God, as we take this journey into your word, that once again, that you don't let us take this journey alone. So therefore, we request the presence of your spirit to be with us, Lord God, and that your spirit will release to us the understanding we stand in need of. Father, we want to thank you this day for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. We thank you for blessing the broadcast, blessing the speakers as they speak tonight to rightly divide the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing the hearers who are hearing to seek your face about what is presented unto them. So, Lord God, we just thank you. And, Lord God, we just give you glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Tonight we are on part two that is titled, Unscriptural Offices Are Not Part of the Restoration. Unscriptural offices are not part of the restoration. And we've been looking at how that, exactly as the title says, that unscriptural offices, offices that's not supported by the scriptures or the word of God, is not part of the restoration. Now, some of you, whoever of you, if you listening to this for the first time, I want to encourage you to go back to listen to part one after you listen to this now. Amen. And glory be to God that, you know, you get the full scope of what is being discussed. Now, some of you may say, well, why are y'all talking about this? Because, you know, so many churches have made up, quote, offices and have assigned it to the Lord. And look as though God honors those offices, okay? Amen. And also, too, as we have talked to you about the work of the Lord, restoration, restitution of all things, and how that even at one point he used a man named Joseph Smith in his humility to translate the word of God. But however, Joseph Smith, he got off track. He fell into sin in his pride. And many of y'all know that when you speak of Joseph Smith, you talk about the Mormons. Now, we want to make it clear, we are born-again believers. We are not Mormons. Mormons are not born-again believers, okay? That's an era Joseph Smith went into, okay? But however, in his failures, where he started Mormonism, you also understand that in Mormonism, they have these particular offices now and claim to be the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, before I go any further, let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
Amen. We're back at it again, brother. to do what we got to do. Amen. And
amen.
Continuing to make that devil mad, because the word of God, which is true, continues to
amen.
Slap them in the face every time somebody talks about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we enjoy that. So praise be to God. We are
amen.
Part two, as I discussed with the listeners. Unscriptural offices are not part of the restoration. And I was just talking to them about how that in his humility at one time, God did use Joseph Smith. But in his failures, he started up, one of the things he started up was Mormonism, as well as many churches have offices that they have, quote, made up,
yes.
but expect God to honor it. And so when we
amen.
Talk about this restoration work of the Lord in these last days, we are here to inform the listeners that unscriptural offices are not part of it.
Amen.
In other words, you're not going to be making up offices and expect God to honor it. Now, I want to give an example of what I mean, and then I'm going to look at a scripture. For example, let's talk about the Mormonism. Now, some of you listening, you may be Mormons, and I'm here to tell you I love you in the Lord, but we have to tell this truth. And, you know, Mormonism and Mormons claim to be the, quote, church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to list to you some of the offices that they come with. For example, okay, not just 12, but having 15 apostles. Now, people say, well, apostles in the scripture, that's true. But listen what else they have. They have senior apostle, which is president. Then he selects two, which are called counselors. And these three function as what is called the first presidency. Then they have what is called the 70s.
Yep.
And it's the eight quorums of the 70s. Leaders of the congregation is called a bishop. And people say, well, that's scripture. Yeah, bishop's scripture. But his administrative parish is called a ward. And the group of wards get this form what is called a stake. And the leader of a stake is referred to as a stake president. Now, that ain't scripture. That ain't scripture.
Amen.
And you have to also be careful when people try to mix some truth with the false. Like, for example, they mention apostles. Yes, we know that's scripture. They mention bishop, that's scripture. But look at all the other offices they got in there combined. See, that's one thing about Satan. Satan would try to mix some truth to get your soul into destruction. Like, for example, with psychics. You know, if you lost a ring 20 years ago, they say, hey, you lost a ring 20 years ago, and it's under the refrigerator. And you run, and guess what you find? The ring. And you go, oh, boy, really? This is of God. They're God. Well, guess what? They could have mixed something else in there, people. Because remember,
amen.
The Bible said that if that prophet or dreamer dreams tell you something that come to pass, but yet still he leads you away from the Lord, he's not of God.
Amen.
Then, for example, the Roman Catholic Church. They got offices called the Pope, Patriarchs, Major Archbishops, Cardinals, Primates, Metropolitan Bishops, Archbishops, Diocesan Bishops. Now, come on, people. Come on now. Amen. Now, listen to all these kind of offices, okay? Now, some of y'all think this don't mean nothing, okay? I know some of y'all, it do mean something. It do mean something. Many of y'all think it don't mean a thing, okay? And remember, they also claim to be the church of Jesus Christ. In fact, they claim that the original church that Christ established continued with them. You get that?
Amen.
Well, if it continued with them, where all these other officers come up from where you don't find the scriptures?
Amen.
But once again, people going by word of mouth. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And look what the word of God says. It says, and when he, now that he had referred to Jesus, okay, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, these men was in the office that Christ made up called apostle. That's scripture, okay? And notice that Jesus called them to this office, okay? So if Jesus calls you to a place, scripture should back it up, shouldn't it?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, let's think about it. Would Jesus contradict his own word? Huh. And you have so many churches coming up with these strange offices, okay? And will fight you to the nail and say, God called it, and God said, make this office, fight you to the nail. Amen.
Amen.
Some offices, many of the churches are made up because, quote, as I said before, people like to feel important. Amen. They like to feel important. So let's make up an office that makes them feel important. Amen. And notice that not only the Bible tells us that Jesus called these men, but gave us their names, which shows what? That this wasn't nothing hideous. You got many churches, they coming up and they doing some hideous stuff, okay? Coming up with offices that some of their own members don't know about. Look up and they go, how are you getting to do this? Because why? A lot of times it's the buddy-buddy system going on. Or
Amen.
If you got a bunch of money, some of y'all don't want to hear this, but if you got a bunch of money, you definitely finna get an office. Hallelujah. You finna get an office, okay? See, one of the terms that is used with many people in the churches to have a big position, they're called big wigs. Oh, you know, he's the big wig in the church. So whenever you hear that, okay, the big wig. That's the one that got the place, the power in the church. And many of the so-called big wigs, get this, even have power over the pastors. Not only do they have power over the pastors, but power on the pastor, because they even rule some of the pastors. Some of the pastors ain't dare gonna say nothing against them. Why? Because a lot of your big wigs is the one that has some money. And sometimes they either the one that put the most money in the church, or they're some of the ones that they know, people know that they got a lot of money. Amen.
Amen.
So you know we got to give them a spot. We got to give them a spot, okay? And with these made-up offices, these that man make up, they are given authority to the ones in that office to do some things that God has not told them to do. But yet still want God to honor it. You get what I'm saying? And in this restoration work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he restore all things, bring it back to the original setup as he had it set up, you will find that many, 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 many of these offices that you hear about, or perhaps you made up your own self or whatever, has no support of Scripture. I'd rather be called to a place that Scripture supports me. Amen. Do you know that when you pray according to the Word, you have the support of God? When you pray outside the Word, that's when you're in trouble. Amen. See, that's why it's good to learn the Word of God. So if you pray within Scripture, you got the support of God. Amen.
Amen.
When you pray, when you need a new vehicle, and you said, Lord, you said you would supply all my need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and I stand on that. Well, guess what? God got your back. But however, if you need a new car and you said, Lord, I like Billy's new car, and I'm praying you give me his car. Well, guess what? You ain't got no support on that. Amen?
Amen.
I want Billy's car. Like God just going to up and snatch Billy's car from him and give it to you. That's covetousness.
Amen.
Okay?
Covetous.
Amen.
That's right. Covetous. Amen. Yes.
And people, once again, we want God to honor it. Amen. And we'll talk to you like it ain't nothing. Yeah, yeah, I wanted that car and I got it now. Oh, okay. Huh. So you're the one called the folks on Billy and told him he was a month behind on the payment so the car can get taken. You was the one, huh? Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, glory be to God.
Amen.
Amen. These offices that's being made up, they're so unscriptural. Now, like I said, speaking on something like this will get some of them want to hit you in the eye. How dare you tell me that this office that we got, and this is how our church run it. And I say, you definitely right. Your church.
Amen.
You right about that. Your church.
Right.
See, a lot of times people don't understand how they be putting their own foot in their mouth when they say stuff.
Yeah.
When they say, well, yeah, I know, but this is how my church run it. Well, you're right. You didn't say Christ Church. You know why you can't straight out say Christ Church? Because you can't show me in Scripture. That's why you say your church.
Right.
Because if you said this is how Christ Church was ran, and I said, oh, really? Give me Scripture on it. It's in there. It's in there. Ain't telling me. I heard that commercial before. That was what, a ragu commercial with some spaghetti sauce? No. Amen.
Amen.
It's in there. Amen. No, it ain't. You got to give me more than it's in there.
It's in there.
And you got so many people, so many churches, okay? Hallelujah. That's claiming. Amen. Well, God gave this to me. This is of God. He had me calling this. Okay. Give me Scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Give me Scripture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they can't. You know what? And they get upset with you. And they said, well, what you trying to say, your church is better than mine? No, I'm not saying anything like that. I ain't saying anything like that at all. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, he's going to get the glory, people. He's going to get the glory. Hallelujah. And in this work of restoration, hey, it's going to be restored back to the way he had it. Okay? Not the way me or Brother Robert or you or anybody else has. It can't be restored the way we want it. Got to be restored the way he had it, okay? And these officers, like I said, and some of y'all think, like I said, you listen to us and y'all think, it ain't nothing. Yes, it is. People, listen, people are ready to fight you over you talk some stuff like this.
Yes, amen. Ready.
Cause they think real hard. Man, I'm gonna tell you, you get up there and start talking that, hey, you know, I haven't found that office you call. I haven't found the scripture. Well, I know God told me to set that office up. That's gonna be the first thing. And when you keep on talking and start saying, well, you know what? I don't think it's scripture, but well, this is how my church do it. Well, okay. Then once you get that remark right there, then drop it. Because they just told you that's the way they church. They didn't say Jesus because, once again, they know if they told you that this is the way Jesus did it, you're going to ask for proof. Now, notice the you I'm talking about is not just anybody. I'm talking about those who are really in the scripture. Because, see, notice this, everybody don't ask those questions.
Amen.
But see, some people can detect when other people are really in the word. So they ain't going to come out and say, well, this is the way Christ did it. Why? Because they're afraid of what? Of that person saying, hey, he did it? Well, can you show me in scripture where he did it? And they're not able to show you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just like I shared with y'all back here one time, how this particular brother, me and him, were having this talk, and I got to admit it got heated up. And he was trying to say something about the church I belong to. And this is about almost 17, 18 years ago. And so I asked him about church. And he was a Baptist. I said, for the church, for example, your church, you a Baptist. Yeah, okay. Can you show me a scripture? And he was like, I can't show you scripture. You know, there was John the Baptist. Huh? John the Baptist. He baptized folk. Yeah. That ain't nothing about a church. That just described what he did in part of his calling, his office, of what he did. Okay? You can't take that and build a church around it. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Now, people, some of y'all listen. Once again, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm not trying to be offensive. I just have to be straight. We have to be straight with you on this, okay? Because if we're going to talk to you about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's doing in the last day, we got to let you know what's in the restoration work and what's not.
Amen.
And see, even with Joseph Smith, you know, we share with you with one of the witnesses who had to stand concerning some of the stuff he was bringing, David Whitmer. And David Whitmer was like, and Joseph Smith even tried to induce high priest in the church. High priest? Now, some of you said, well, that scripture, man, that's Old Testament practice.
Yes.
That was under the covenant that's been done away with. We're under a new covenant.
That's right.
And see, and he went to introducing that. And once again, you have people that follow him. Why? Because they didn't go into scripture. But the people that were really into the Word of God, like one of the people, David Whitmer, was challenged, and they considered him trouble.
Amen.
Now you go to the Mormons today and ask them about Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer. They can't hardly tell you nothing. They just dropped them off the map.
Amen.
they won't even talk about them. Why? Because if they go too deep, they have to tell you how they stood against Joseph Smith on some of the stuff you brought out. See, the whole thing is to paint a picture to you that Joseph Smith was flawless and that everything he brought was of God. This is why when you talk to them about polygamy, they come out and tell you it was a calling. See, they uplift Joseph Smith over Jesus Christ. They want you to think that he was flawless. He had no mistakes. He made no error. He committed no sin. But that is wrong. And see, this is why we bring this to you, because some of you will look at that and say, well, all that stuff he did, was that a God? Wow, you know, y'all said that God used him. Yeah, he used him in his humility. But when he got in his pride, falling off in error, gotten into sin,
amen,
bringing up all this stuff, that was not of God.
Amen.
Amen? David was a man after God's own heart. Okay? What you going to do, follow him and having a bunch of wives and a bunch of concubines? Is you going to follow him to put somebody on the front line so he can have their spouse? Come on, people. Let's think on this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Unscriptural offices are not part of the restoration work. Amen.
Amen.
So my advice to you, when you're dealing with the offices, number one, make sure you call of God. That's number one. Make sure you call of God, not make sure you feel like. I hear so many men, I just feel like I need to be a pastor. I said, you got to go more than a feeling. Because when that devil come at you, you might feel that same day, I done messed up. So you got to go more than a feeling. You got to have a witness and know in your spirit that you've been called. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you better make sure whatever all you're talking about, you got some support from the scripture. And see, number two can't function without number one, because if Christ truly called you, he's going to call you to something that scripture supports. Amen? He ain't calling you the metropolitan bishop or a pope or a patriarch. He's not calling you to a cardinal. You don't even find that in scripture, people. Oh, my God. Listen, this is why we've told you on many of the broadcasts, you got to get in the word for yourself. People, I don't know how we can really stress that to you more. Do you know the days we living in? Paul called it perilous times. These are days of trickery, people. These are days of deception, okay? And you running around depending on so-and-so because they sound so elegant when they say the scripture, and you thinking, because they sound so elegant, oh, they got to be right or whatever they say, and you won't look it up. Next thing you know, you and all in abomination and iniquity acts and wickedness and all that stuff. I'm mad at him, and he led me that way. Well, did you ever search out scripture? Well, no, he's supposed to know. I hear that line a whole lot too, brother. When they find out you're a minister, they always like to say, well, you supposed to know. I'm talking about the people that won't get in the word, the ones that want you to tell them the book, the chapter, the verse. And if it's in verse 43 and you said verse 42, you better not mess up and say that. Because they will come back and find you. Say, you told me verse 42. It was in verse 43. You be like, man, I just missed the verse. Well, man, you supposed to know that. What are you doing? I know what you're doing. You feeding off me when you ain't getting in the word yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the word of the Lord. His word is his word. Amen. And it does not change, people. You're not a God that changes. So you ain't got to sit up there and have you a bottle of aspirin for your head hurting, because every time you're talking to God, he's changing his mind. Okay? You don't know what, God, I don't know what to believe. You know, I ask you this one minute, and next minute you change your mind. But that ain't the type of God. And as I close with this, I tell you he's unchangeable. One of the things many of us as Christians, we have done it. Just about all of us have done it. When you ask God about something he told you no, you turn around and ask him again, and all of a sudden you say, I got a yes. Why? Wait a minute. I thought you got a no at first. How you get a yes? Man, God changed your mind like that? Wow. Good gracious. I guess that what we do, we just keep asking him about the same stuff till he changes. Really? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to stop it right here, and I'm going to turn over to the hands of my brother. Take it away, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we got to lay ground for your brothers and sisters, okay? So I got some scripture for you, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Along with my brother here. Thank you, Jesus, because we always setting up, okay, for what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about the offices, okay, of that God does not approve of, okay? That's not scriptural. That's not godly, okay? And they go away from the character of God. That's how you know that it's wrong, when it goes away from the character of God, okay? Now, my brother
Amen.
Was telling you about that. Telling you about the high priest that they set up, okay? They did try to set up, okay, before they split. They tried this, okay? And they I think it was 6 men that they ordained to be high priest. Don't you know, according
wow.
to, even if you were living in Old Testament time, according to Old Testament time, okay, you can't, it cannot only be but one, it can only be one at a time, okay? You cannot have two or three high priests. You can only have one high priest, because the one high priest represents Jesus Christ, okay? Okay? That's
Amen.
What that high priest represents, okay? He's a shadow of that which is to come. Thank you, Jesus, which was Jesus Christ coming in the future, okay? Coming in flesh, okay? And he was going to become the last high priest, okay? But he's forever, hallelujah, a high priest, okay, that sitteth, hallelujah. He's forever, according to Hebrews, okay, he's the last high priest. Thank you, Jesus. And there's no other high priest but him, okay? So you can't have 6 high priests. When he did this, you know
Amen.
What happened? God showed his disapproval completely fast, right there in a hurry. God let the devil come in there and twist those men's faces into demonic shapes, okay, when they did that.
Amen.
Because God wants you to know that those things are evil, okay? Now, that should have scared them real good. But did that scare them? No, men are always doing stupid things. We people, we human flesh, always doing something stupid. We'll keep taking steps in the wrong direction, even though we know that what we're doing is wrong. I'm going to read something to you, okay? Because what we're trying to point you in one direction, okay? We're not pointing you to us. Get this.
Amen.
We're not pointing you to us. We're pointing you to the one. There's only one. There's only one
Amen.
God, only one leader. There's only one commander. There's only one king. That is God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
There's nobody else but him, okay? We ain't got no right to setting none up. Every time God sets his stuff up, God sets his, whatever God set up, he set up. That's the way he wanted to be. And that's why the Lord
Amen.
Said in this 16th chapter of Matthew, he said, he gave the keys, okay? He said, he gave Peter the keys. And he gave the body of Christ the keys to do what? To bind the powers of the adversary. Whatsoever you bind
Amen.
On earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the power that God gives us, okay? To bind the powers of the adversary. Now, Satan is always trying to move you out of that, because Satan don't want you to bind him, his power. He don't want you to bind his
Amen.
Demonic network. Now, you can't really bind Satan himself, okay? But you can bind the demon that follows Satan, okay? Any of the demons, you can bind them, okay? But but Satan's time is coming, okay? And he knows that his time is short. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Well, when Jesus said, I am, what did he say? He says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, when he gave Peter those keys, and he gave the 12 those keys, and he gave the church those keys, okay, for whatsoever he gives the head, he gives to the whole body, okay? Get that understanding, okay? Hallelujah. Whatever he gives to the head, he gives to the whole body. Thank you, Jesus, because the whole body is supposed to act as one, okay? The head is not independent of the body, of the other part of the body, okay? It has to work according to the word of God, just like all the other parts of the body have to work according to the word of God, okay? So on that truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's where we're coming from, okay?
Amen.
And upon that rock that Jesus Christ said, I build my church, that's where we coming from. We ain't coming from no spirits of perversion, no works of perversion. Hallelujah. We ain't coming from no, talk about no presidency and all that kind of junk, because all that stuff belongs to Satan. Thank you, Jesus. Now, another thing I want to get straight with you, okay, is this, okay? I got scripture, okay, but I want to tell you this, okay, that from the time of 1832 to 1838, the church had began to slide down to confusion, derision, darkness, disobedience, changing of things in the church, picking up bigamy, okay, and walking away from the word of God, walking away from the will of God, okay? Okay? And 1838, why is that? What's so significant about that 1838 date? Because that's the time when the church split, okay? When the witnesses,
amen,
some of the witnesses left, they left Joseph Smith and the church, and they went there with different separate ways because Joseph Smith kept entering into sin, okay? He kept doing things that he wanted to do. They set up a band in the Mormon church, okay? Now, from the time of 1838, the church was no longer in the hands of God, okay? Are you getting this? That Mormon,
amen,
church, no longer in the hands of God. It's not even, you can't even, anything that they say, you could not even, don't even consider it. Anything that they say from that point, because they are under a spirit of delusion, they are under a spirit of lying and deception, okay? That's what they was under. They was under a spirit of lying, this darkness, gross darkness, okay? And this is what they was under. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because Joseph Smith had refused to follow after the Holy Spirit of God, okay? And so he said, well, I'm going to do this my way. Since God won't talk to me, I'm going to do this my way. This is what he did. Thank you, Jesus. So from 1832 to 1838, the Mormon church, you can consider them, they cut themselves off from God completely, okay? I didn't have no more dealings with them, okay? Because they went and set up their own thing, okay? They set the name, they went away from God's word completely, okay? They changed the name of, okay, what did they do? They changed the name of the church. They set up offices. They hadn't been setting up right. They set up polygamy in the church, right? And they set,
amen,
up all kind of things in the church, okay? So from that point on, they was not the body of Christ. Now, they think they the restoration. You ain't no restoration if you ain't restoring nothing.
Amen.
How are you the restoration if you cease to restore anything, okay? The only thing that Joseph Smith was able to restore, okay, and that did not go over with the Mormon church, okay? Why? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the priest's authority given to the body of Christ, okay? Thank you, Jesus. given to the body of Christ to set up what? To set up the church, okay, in this earth, right? To bring all the body of Christ to the church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that was, this is what Joseph Smith was supposed to do. He was just supposed to do one thing, that one thing at a time that God wanted him to do, right?
Amen.
Right? One thing at a time. God told him, okay, now, God told him, hey, I want you to interpret these, okay? I'm gonna give you the power to interpret it. You're gonna interpret these things, okay? And he couldn't interpret them by himself. You know, he needed somebody else to help him to interpret that record of Nephi. Do you know that, huh?
Amen.
He was never by himself. He was always, somebody else was always writing it down. Okay, what God has shown him, somebody else was writing it down. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So God didn't leave it in the hand of one man, okay? And see, that's why God had three of them, okay? Remember we told you about the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established? That's why God established three witnesses. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Because the Lord didn't leave it in the hands of Joseph Smith, because the Lord already knew Joseph Smith, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. But he gave Joseph Smith the chance, okay? Joseph Smith
Amen.
Had the chance, okay? But Joseph Smith failed. Now, the good thing about Joseph Smith is this, that at the end, he did repent. That's the good thing about it, okay? But the bad thing about it is that his work was burned up. Both of his work
Amen.
Was burned up. So it's all the things that he did, okay, don't mean nothing. Even if he did translate the record, right, okay, it only means something to the people that walk therein, okay? It doesn't mean anything to him. You know why? Because he walked away from that, okay? Even though he walked away with this, that book called the Book of Mormon, he walked away from the record of the Nephite because he changed the name and he did whatever he wanted to do. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, hallelujah. Now, this, my brother was telling you about these different offices, right? The presidency,
Amen.
Right? There ain't no such thing as there wasn't no presidency back then, okay? It was a presidency, I think, in the Old Testament, in some of the kingdoms, okay? Thank you. Yes, it was. It was the presidency. But the Lord did not set that up in his church.
Amen.
First, second, and third presidency, okay? one was over the, one of these presidency right was over the 12, okay? Ruled over the 12 apostles, right? According to them. And then the other presidency was over the high priest, okay? And then the third was over the church, the body of Christ, so-called, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And this prophet, okay, this office of the prophet is not an office, okay? If anybody tell you that, they're wrong. The prophet, there's no such thing as the office of the prophet or the office of a prophet, okay? Are you listening? Thank you, Jesus. There is the gift of prophecy. And prophets, God called men, the calling of prophets, okay? But both men and women can be prophets, right? Right?
Amen.
Well,
Amen.
In the Mormon church, a woman can't be no prophet, okay?
Amen.
You can't be no prophet unless you're a man. Thank you, Jesus. But according because they think it's an office, okay? But all the office, that's not the office. What's the office is this. Apostle, the office of an apostle, okay, that's an office, okay? That's an office. And according to the scripture, a woman can't be called to the office of an apostle. Okay? But she could be called she could be a prophet, because a prophet is a gift. Prophecy is gift, okay? It has to do with gifts. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The high priest, that was never an office in the body of Christ, okay? Since the Old Testament time, okay? Thank you, Jesus. If you read the Hebrews, okay, you'll find out that Jesus Christ is the last high priest. Thank you, Jesus. And he's the only high priest of his people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's no such thing as an Aaronic priesthood, Levitical priesthood, or any other priesthood. Just a Melchizedek priesthood, okay? And they don't have this. They think they have it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the Melchizedek priesthood is after Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the Melchizedek priesthood. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you read the word, you'll find this out, okay? Now, this is in Hebrews, okay? When you read Hebrews, you'll get all this about Melchizedek, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because it talks about Melchizedek, hallelujah, and his role, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me get to this scripture now. Thank you, Jesus. All right, here. All right, let me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to, this may seem a little weird to you, okay, but I want to read this to you out of, this is the 78th chapter of Psalm. You know Psalm? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Psalms, a lot of times, they a lot of them were historians, okay? The psalmist, okay? And so a lot of times their psalm was based on history, okay? So in this 78th psalm, okay, the Lord's talking to people, okay? And the Lord told us to remember. Why did the Lord tell us to remember what he had done? Why is it so important for us to remember and not forget what God had done, okay, in the Old Testament time, okay? Because we like to, in the Old Testament time, Satan wants us to forget things that God did, okay, and the victories that God gave his people in the Old Testament time, okay?
Amen.
And Satan was made like a knucklehead even in the Old Testament time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So
amen.
I'm going to read this, okay? I'm going to start the first verse. I'm going to just read through, okay? Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I always want you to know what he has done, the works of his hands. He wants you to know, and he wants you to glory in the things that he has done. Thank you, Jesus. Though you were not there, the Lord wants you to glory in those things that he has done and to give him glory, honor, and praise. Fifth verse. For
amen.
He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So the Lord told them to do this, okay? He commanded their fathers to do this, to make it known to their children what he had done. In the hallelujah, what he had done to the Egyptians. Why? Seventh verse. That they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Thank you, Jesus. That they may not become just a religious group, okay? The Lord wants them to know that he is real. He's a real God. He's a real Lord. He's a living God, okay? He's not stone. not wood. He is not something that a man that was made with a man's hands, okay? He is not the idea of man. He is not the thoughts of man. Man did not create God, created man, okay?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Eighth verse. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation who set not their hearts right, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Thank you, Jesus. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. And these are people of God.
Amen. They
refused to walk, refused to do what God told them to do, okay? 11th verse, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous thing did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he get bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? This is what they said to God, okay? Can he do thee? Can God provide for us? That's what they said in the wilderness. After God had led them over the through the Red Sea. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
He had dried up the Red Sea and made it stand as a heap on both sides, okay? And they walked through. And they had the nerve to ask God, can he provide for his people? 21st verse. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. That means he was angry. So if for a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent their meat to the full. Now, brothers and sisters, thank you, Jesus. The Lord had done all these wonderful things in Egypt, right? These marvelous things in Egypt, right? To bring his people
Amen.
Out of Egypt, right? What
Amen.
He had done, he had poured all these plagues and these pestilence and all these things out on the Egyptians, right? And he showed his people that he was God, right? He showed
Amen.
Them that I am the Lord God. I'm real. I ain't no statue standing over there in the corner. I am not no God made of stone. I am true. I am living. I am God. Okay? And these people still, thank you, Jesus, they still did not believe him. They spake against him. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to see what happened to these people that did not believe in God, okay? Even though God has led them through all these, they still didn't believe him. 25th verse
Amen.
Says, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow into heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as fowls, like as the sand of the sea. So God gave them the flesh that they was asking for. 28th verse. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they stand still and believe not for his wondrous works. They didn't believe God even when they was eating these little birds that God had sent to them. Even though God had gave them meat to the full, they still did not believe him. They ate with their unbelief in their hearts, okay? And did they say thank God for these gifts? Did they say, blessed be the Lord God, the true and living God who has given us, hallelujah, these benefits, who have poured down upon us these spouse? Thank the Lord. Did they say that? No, they didn't. So they died while they was chewing on the meat. While they was chewing it, while it was in their mouth, some of them died. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The fattest of them died. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you're looking at these Mormons, they done the same thing, okay? All right? And this
Amen.
Is one reason why I tell you that from 1832, don't believe anything that they say, okay? Why? Because they are liars. They are deceivers, okay? They went away from the word of God, okay? You can't trust anything they say. They are no longer the people of God because they are not obeying God, okay? They set up all the things that the Mormon church set up is completely against Christ, okay? And it's completely against God, Jesus Christ set up of salvation, okay? Because because according to them, you're saved because you become a Mormon, okay?
Yeah.
According to them, right? Well, according to
Amen.
Christ is the only one that can save you, right? According to the
Amen.
Scriptures, Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life, right? Thank you, Jesus. That's
Amen.
Where we coming from, brothers and sisters. That's where we coming from. We ain't coming from no place of perversion. We ain't coming from no place of darkness. We ain't coming from no place of lying, deceiving, deception, gross darkness. We ain't coming from those places. We coming from the place of the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. There's only one God. That is the Lamb. Hallelujah. The Lamb
Amen.
Of God. He's God. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the
Amen.
Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. And right there, that's where I'm going to stop it, right there. I'll give you some more tomorrow. Thank Jesus
Amen.
For his, thank God for his truth. Thank God for his, hallelujah, that he's the way. That God, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ says, hallelujah, I am the spirit of truth. I am the truth. Hallelujah. God is the truth. Hallelujah. He is the rock. There is none beside him. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to hand it over to my brothers. And hallelujah. Take it away, Brother Nathaniel, in Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, we're grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for such an opportunity you've given us to deliver the word of God. This is a 5-part series, so we have 3 more parts after this. But we want to get this thing established with you that whatever you are, quote, supposed to be called in, number one, make sure that it's your call of God. And number two, make sure what you call in is scriptural. Only that which is scriptural will have the support of God and be able to stand. Because once again,
Amen.
He's not going to call contradictory to his own word. As we told you before, high priests, you don't see in the New Testament under the New Covenant, under God's establishing and setting up of the ministry, you do not see high priest. And for anyone to come up with this high priest thing, and to say that it is of God, have missed the boat by a mile, okay? It's not of God. And
Amen.
What I'm telling you is this. God is going to, you know, this work that the Lord is doing in these last days, first of all, we know it's going to be a blessing. But it's going to be painful to some.
Yeah.
And it's going to be painful to the flesh.
because when God really unveils his perfect will, his will about particular things, it's going to be painful to the flesh. Because you got some people out there that's in these, quote, made-up offices that been doing that for years.
Amen.
And God is finna unveil it. Now, some of the people is going to go to a church that would accept that. And remember, at the end, two churches, Church of Christ and Church of the Devil, that's going to be the main two, okay? And you're going to belong to one or the other, okay? And so what God says, no, hey, I'm going to go over to this Revelation 17 church. They'll let me do it. Amen. That's going to be many people's mindset in these last days, okay? That's where the church of the enemy in Revelation 17 is going to make herself so appealing. Because what God says no to, she's going to say yes.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's just like with your kid. Your kid's in the house. Whatever parent definitely saying no to something, and I'm talking about in the right manner, the other parent is saying yes, the children are going to flock to the yes parent. Okay? Amen.
Amen.
That's why husband and wives in the household got to be on one accord.
Amen.
Okay? When they come to daddy, daddy, can I do such and such thing? Dad said, no, you don't need to do that. But you run to mama. Mama said, yeah, child, go ahead. They're going to flock to mama each time. Okay? Amen. And so in these last days, when God unveils more of his work, this work of restoration that we're telling you about and others will say, it's going to be painful to the flesh, and you're going to find some, that's where some, here's the thing, that the overall thing is going to be this. You're going to find people flocking to the Roman Catholic Church, to the Revelation 17 Church, because once again, this church is going to say, hey, ain't nothing wrong with it. Listen, they're doing it today. Their quote leader is doing it. Okay? He's doing it today. What God calls an abomination, he's saying there's nothing wrong with it. Well, if I'm so caught up in my flesh, who you think I'll go with? I'm going to go with the one that's okay in the flesh. Amen. If I'm so caught up in my flesh, okay? That's like you're going to see with a lot of people in these churches. They finna leave some of these ministers who going to turn and honestly preach the full truth. They're going to leave.
Amen.
Now, I say to some of you ministers that are listening, you better get ready, because you probably being convicted in your heart now. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been preaching the truth. I'm telling you, and this is not a curse to be put on you. This is the truth. You better get ready, because some of your people finna leave. Okay?
Yes.
And the people that finna leave is those that caught up in their flesh. And when you up there preaching against drunkenness, adultery, against witchcraft, and these folks like this stuff, they're leaving you. And they're going to go to a church that says, hey, it's okay. We don't judge you. Because, you know, that's the kind of word we're throwing around today. You can't judge me. So we don't judge you. You can come on. And they're flocking over there. Okay?
Amen.
And this is how this pinnacle, all that love true is going to flow into one way. All that don't love going to flow into another way. That's what it's coming down to, people. That's what it's coming down to, okay? And these unscriptural offices, people hold dear to their heart, okay? And like I said, willing to go upside your head and hit you in the eye, if you sit up there and tell, say, hey, well, you know, this really ain't no scripture to support this. Well, I know God told, and God called me to blah, blah, and blah, blah, and then they get so mad, and next thing you know, they ready to do something to you. But this is what this abominable church, this is what their leader is doing now, people. We got to open our eyes. He's okaying stuff that God says abomination. Because one of the things you got to understand, he had to go back and build the image of the church back up, because that church took a big hit a few years ago when all those priests got exposed. Okay? So he got to go back.
And what's the best way to build an image? To say, hey, yes to abomination, yes to iniquity. You know, like the politicians say, say yes to change. Well, they say yes to abomination, yes to iniquity. And people are like, oh, wow, he don't judge me. I can come in, and I can, even though I'm a man, I can come in and look like a woman, and he says, okay, and God made me that way. I'm going to join his church. And that's what they're going to do. This is why many churches are making an agreement with her, okay? They're making an agreement with her, okay? Because she is legalizing of her own that which is sin. And they're going to flock to, they're flocking to her now. And the Christians, yeah. We're asleep. We just snoring away. We just, we sleeping all that. And that Revelation 17 church is gathering her people, okay? Getting her people together. We sleep. And I'm telling you right now, people, you know, it's time to wake up. This is not a game, okay? Amen. And these churches, that two of them are naming you with these officers. They come up with these officers and all this stuff, you know, and say, hey, it's God. Amen. It's God.
Amen.
Because, once again, many of the churches are flocking to this church because many of their churches don't submit to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because the man always makes a schedule that he wants to stick to. So we ain't got no room for the Holy Ghost to do his thing. We want to do our thing. So that's why you find many churches, they do the same routine over and over and over again. The same routine. No room for the Holy Ghost to do anything, okay? And so why not flock to a church that doesn't believe in the working of the Holy Spirit? Why not flock to it? If you're in the same condition, amen, and believe that, well, we can get together and say, hey, we like you and we think that you'll make a good deacon. Hey, let's go make him a deacon. No asking God, no searching God, nothing. Well, of course. Look where you're going to go. Glory to God.
Yeah.
On that note,
yeah.
I'm letting my brother offer up a closing prayer. Take it away, brother.
Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be his word. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of truth. Thank you, Lord God, for your word of truth, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the God of truth, O Lord God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, that you came in the flesh, that you died in the flesh, that you rose in the flesh, Lord God. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that you led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah, that you give us power, Lord God, to overcome all the powers of the adversary, Lord God, if we will. Thank you, Jesus. It is your will, Lord God, that we overcome all the powers of the adversary, that we overcome, Lord God, all doubt, all fears, all worry, all stress, hallelujah, all sins, all transgressions, all iniquities. It is your will, O Lord God, that we are overcomers in all things, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Now we ask that you bless and sanctify all the listeners, Lord God, with the spirit and power of the Lamb. Bless them, Lord God, with the mind of Christ. Bless them, Lord God, with a seeking heart, with a heart of desire toward Christ Jesus, to seek God, seek his will, to seek his truth in the name of Jesus, that they may be founded upon the rock. Lord God, let these words go to the whole world, Lord God. Hallelujah. And penetrate the hearts, minds, ears, hallelujah, of the people, Lord God, listen in Jesus Christ's name. And bring them back again, Father, in the name of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we give you honor, praise, and glory, Lord God, because you do all these things, hallelujah, and because we are your servants, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Father, we see you, Lord God, as the only true and living God. There is none other besides you, Lord God, not in heaven, not in earth. Glory to God. Honor and praise be to him. Hallelujah. Now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget, part three will be tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Glory be to God. So, for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, brother.
God bless you, brother.